2 Kings chapter number 10. 2 Kings chapter number 10 this morning. I want to break in on a conversation here, these fellows, and pull out a verse of scripture here of what this man said to another man, and bring the message upon it about it this morning. I come home the other day, my grass is about that high, and didn't get to cut it before I left because my lawnmower was tore up, and I had to pay my neighbor to come and fix my lawnmower. And then when I got back, it was fixed, so I mowed most of my grass. And while I was mowing grass, I was thinking, and Lord speaks to me sometimes when I'm running or mowing grass. Isn't that something? And I got this thought come on my mind. And here it is. Everybody in here, I'm going to ask you a question before we go. Verse 15, at 2 Kings 10, verse 15. And when he was departed thence, he lighted on Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he saluted him and said to him, "Is thine heart right as my heart is with thy heart?" And Jehonadab answered, "It is. If it be, give me thine hand." And he gave him his hand, and he took him up to him into the chariot. Right in the middle of that verse, he asked him a question. Is thine heart right as mine is? All right? And he said, "If your heart's right, buddy, give me your hand." And that guy gave him his hand, and he pulled him up in the chariot, and they went on down the road together. Now, I would ask you this morning that question. Everybody in here, the youngest person in here, to the eldest person in here, the smartest person in here, to the not as smart person in here. I want to ask you a question this morning. Is your heart right? Is your heart right with God? Now, I mean it. I'm serious. I want everybody in here just to imagine that me and you's the only one in here. Because a lot of times when you go to church, you sit there and you think, boy, he's really telling these people. But let's imagine there ain't nobody in here but you. And I'm setting you down, I'm asking you, is your heart right? Amen. Right now. Is your heart right? As a matter of fact, the most important thing in the world this morning is your heart being right. Nothing else will matter or do you any good if your heart's not right. You say, "Well, I go to church every Sunday." Don't do you no good if your heart ain't right. You say, "Well, I try to help people and be good to people." Waste time if your heart is not right. My question to you this morning, visitor. My question to you this morning, church member, mama, husband, wife, is your heart right? Number one, is your heart right with your neighbor? Is your heart right with your neighbor? Now, I know a lot of people say, "Well, I'm a good Christian and everything," and have major problems with each other. And I know sometimes we're human beings and things come up between us. But my heart is supposed to be right with you and a neighbor. I'm going to tell you this morning, as far as I know, my heart is right toward everybody in here and everybody ain't in here. If for somebody in here this morning, I'm not in the world this morning, I'm not right with, it's not my choice, it's theirs. Because I want to be and I'm willing to be right with everybody in here. Amen. Anybody in here I'm not right with? Yes, sir, what you do? You meet me up here at this altar and I'll get right. Everything I know to get right, and I'll tell you, if I'm doing something wrong, I'll quit it and I want to get right with you. You know, life is too short to go through it not right. I want to be right. We ought to be right with each other. I've heard people come in church and say, "Boy, I just love the Lord, but I hate him." No, it don't work like that. If you don't love your brother whom you have seen, you can't love God whom you've not seen. Now you say, "Now, Brother Danny, you can't tell me." Okay, I'll be honest with you, okay? Might as well be flat out honest. There are people in this world that I'd rather not be around. But my heart wants to be right toward every one of them. Amen. How's that? Fair enough? Amen. That's right. I mean, there's people in here there's people in the world you don't always hit it off with. There's people in the world, it just seems like there's pretty. There's people in the world from day one, you just don't like them. But you still got to have your heart right towards them. That's right. You can't treat them different. You can't hope bad things happen to them. I've heard people say something bad happened. Somebody say, "Yes, Lord, thank you." And that ain't the right attitude to have. You liable to be next. Something bad liable to happen to you. You know, you're not even supposed to rejoice when something bad happens to that person that you hate. That's wrong. That's the wrong attitude. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Somebody wrote it like this. They said, to live above with the saints we love, won't that be glory? But to live below with the saints we know, that's another story. We get hurt feelings. We get hard feelings. We begin to argue about stuff. I'll tell you what causes most trouble in churches is two things. One of them is pride, and the other is stubbornness. Pride and stubbornness. I've been preaching a long time, and 9 times out of 10, when people don't like each other in a church, it's got nothing to do with the Bible. It's pride and stubbornness. And we've all got it. Amen? Some of you did not say amen, proving your stubbornness. Right there. That's right. We all got it. I do, and you do. And every once in a while, you know, I've been in a lot of revivals, and you know when I've seen revival come to a church is when people start getting right with each other. I've seen people walk across the church, walk over here on the other side of the church, and grab somebody's neck and hug them and say, "Listen, I'm sorry." It's pitiful that sinners out there in the world can get along better than Christians in God's house. My Lord, them boys out there in the bar, they can get in a fight one night and one of them knock bloody their nose and everything else and come back the next night and put his arm around and say, "Hey, darn our good buddy. Sorry about our little disagreement last night." I mean, that's bad when sinners can forgive and forget more than Christians. Lord, I know Christians, if they ever have something against you, buddy, it's till death. And that ain't right. I want to ask you this morning, is your heart right with your neighbor? I didn't say we have to agree on everything. I didn't say you have to like everything they do or don't do. I'm saying, is your heart right? There's a lot of preachers does stuff I don't like. There's a lot of deacons does stuff I don't like. There's a lot of people does stuff I don't agree with. But my heart has to be right toward every single one of them. I heard about this old church up yonder in the mountains, and it's no lie. This preacher went to eat with this woman, and she's fixed him a ham. Had a big old ham there, and she cut the whole end off of that ham and put it in the oven and cooked it. You know, the little part there where all the flavor and stuff come in. And she set that down on the table, and the preacher said, "I want to ask you a question." He said, "Why'd you cut the end off that ham?" She said, "You know, I don't even know. Mama always did it like that. And I just watched Mama all my life." And so he asked the mama, he said, "You cut the end off that ham when you cut it?" She said, "Oh yeah, always have." He said, "Why you do that?" She said, "You know, my mama always did that." And she said, "I just learned, watched Mama do it, and I do it too." And so he went to Grandma. "Grandma, Mama, why do you cut the end off that ham when she cook it?" She said, "Lord, preacher, we was so poor growing up." She said, "I didn't have but one little old pan. And it was that long, and I had to cut the end off of it to get it in that little pan. And them nuts was doing it all them years for no reason whatsoever." You'd be surprised, people will fight you over stuff like that. And say, "Well, we've always done it like this. I believe this. I believe that." You know what? If it's against the Bible, we'll fight about it. But if not, brother, we better learn how to mesh a little bit. Amen? We better learn how to, that's what the Lord meant when he said, "I anointed my head with oil." Them sheep butt heads. They butt heads a lot. Bam! Bam! And when he put that oil on them, they just slide off each other like that. We must be right with our neighbor. People usually fuss about dumb things, and it's pride and stubbornness. So if your heart's not right toward anybody here, at work, somewhere, and you need to get it right, get it right. Is your heart right this morning? Maybe that girl got your boyfriend.
Them girls at camp, they got mad. Well, now she knows that I like him, and she started liking him, and I hate her because she's got my boyfriend now. I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to send her a sympathy card. You ought to say, bless your heart, I feel so sorry for you. And wind up with that jerk. You ought to thank the Lord for it. And thank God he delivered you. Ladies and gentlemen, is your heart right with your neighbor? Number two. Is your heart right with your companion? Listen to this. This is the quietest this church has ever been. Is your heart right with your companion? Your husband. Your wife. If you're not married, you're off the hook here for a second. Is your heart right? I know people that fuss and fight all the way to church and argue. Shut up. No, you shut up. I wish I hate your guts. Drop dead. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they walk in the church. And I go, oh, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Woo! How you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? All that. Well, guess what? That ain't the way it works, y'all. Is your heart right with your husband or your wife? You ain't got one. Hush. No. Easy for him to sit over there. No, I'm just messing with you. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, brother. When you get married, it's not you be mine. It's let's be ours. It's not you be mine. It's let's be ours. Somebody said, marriage is 50-50. No, it ain't. It's 100-100. Both got to give 100. That's the only way it'll work. I'm telling you this morning, is your heart right? Now, I've given marriage counsel for many, many years. I've been a marriage counselor for, I don't know, I ain't got a degree in it, but I guarantee you one thing. I can write you a book on it. I've got one. I earned. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. There's two things that happen in marriage. For all you married people in here this morning, there's two things, if you'll do, it will solve 90% of your marriage problem. You say, well, we fuss and we used to get along so good, and now we fuss and fight all the time and everything. Two things. All you got to do is these two things. I've been telling people this for 25 years, and it'll work every time. Number one, quit taking each other for granted. And number two, show each other the same respect that you show everybody else. That will fix 90% of your marriage problem. Have you ever noticed how nice people are to everybody else and how hateful and disrespectful they are to the person they're married to? That's what causes a problem. I mean, it's like you go into work and the boss says, ma'am, will you get me a cup of coffee? You go straight and get that cup of coffee. Yes, sir. Did you have a good weekend? Here you are, sir. Thank you. You go, oh, how sweet you are. How nice you are. But if you come home and your husband says, honey, will you get me a cup of coffee? Shut up! I work as hard as you do. Get it yourself, lazy bum. Right? Peanut, do you do that? Does she do that, Jim? Listen, I'm right on this morning. I'm right on target. Listen, I'm telling you something. Don't hit each other. We're in church. Listen, y'all. That ain't right. You say, well, I get paid for that at work. You know what they call women that do stuff just because they get paid for it? How about just being nice? Lord have mercy, some of y'all look uncomfortable. You look like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. Well, just chill out. It's going to get worse here in a minute. Just fasten your seatbelt, because I'm telling you, if you treat your wife with the same respect you do that woman at work, or you treat your husband the way you treat that visitor, that nurse. I know people's nicer to the people at the checkout counter at Walmart than they are their husband who's paying for that junk you bought. All God's people say it? Oh, thank you. You have a nice day. Shut up. Come on. Put that stuff in the car. You got it backwards, sister. He's buying that stuff. If you got to be hateful to the waiter at the restaurant. Not your wife or your husband. I can't believe it. It's the worst food I ever had in my life. I can't believe we're even having to pay for the... And then your waiter comes in. How was everything? Oh, it was just great. Thank you so much. You know, we got a word for that. Hypocrite. Amen? I ain't got time to get into all that. Now the Bible says two things. The Bible says, wives, submit yourself to your husband. And the Bible says this, ladies, see that she reverent her husband. see that she reverenced her husband. Not fussing at him every time he walks in the door. Not criticizing every move he makes. A man ain't going to take it if you're continually just cutting him down. Well, you don't this and you don't need to be that. Like, you ought to know by now, you ain't going to change him. Fussing at him, trying to change, just talk that piece of wood right there. It'll do you just as much good. Amen. Pray for him. Pray for him. Pray for him. Don't criticize every movie made. Yeah, Abraham, listen. I got a little illustration here for you. You've never heard this before. Abraham, Bible said them angels come to Abraham in Genesis 18, and they come to Lot in Genesis 19. Abraham was right with God. Lot was backslid. And the Bible said that Abraham walked in. He said, Sarah, we got some visiting angels. Can you cook them? And Sarah went, got on the ball and cooked them supper. And the next chapter, when they came to Lot, it said he prepared them something to eat. Lot cooked. You say, what happened to his wife? She looked back, turned into a pillar of salt. She was watching soap operas that day and couldn't cook for the angels. She couldn't miss the view or as the stomach turns. And so she was sitting there reading her romance books. Lord have mercy, look at that right there. The women are down mad to say amen. The men scared to. You say, what about the men? The men are supposed to love your wife and be not bitter against her. If you're not loving your wife and being good to her, if you're bitter against her, you're wrong, friend. Is your heart right with your wife? Is your heart right with your husband? Husbands, love her and don't be bitter against him. One lady told me, she said, Brother Danny, I hate to say this. She said, we're having marriage. I said, what's wrong? She said, I don't see how he can sit in church and say amen the way he treats me and the kids at home. And your wife knows what kind of person you are, buddy. And your kids do too. Don't think you're fooling them kids. Son, God gives you kids straight. Yeah, they won't let you get away with nothing. Man, my girls are sitting over here this morning, all three of them, right over there. And if I got out of line that much, Daddy. One time I got in some gas. And one of them over here, not the oldest one, not the youngest one. I ain't going to say which one it was. But that one of them, I was pulling in to get some gas. And she said, she wasn't about 5 years old. And she said, well, ain't you going to tell him God loves him or something? I said, yes, hush. I'll witness. Because she heard me preach all the time. I'm supposed to witness to everybody. Boy, I tell you, man, don't you think them kids don't know if you're living right. They know. They might not live it, but they expect mom and daddy to walk chalk. Ain't that right? Don't go to bed mad. Bible said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. One of you be a big enough person and Christian enough to say, look, I'm sorry, let's pray. Don't just say, phew, turn this way. Phew, turn this way. I hate you. I know some that get so mean, they go sleep on the couch. Look up here, I'll tell you when it's time for us to pray. Get it right. You know what your problem is? Your heart ought to be right with your companion. That's good preaching, Brother Danny. Get your heart right. You say, well, you don't know mine. No, I don't. But I'm telling you one thing. Your heart can be right with them whether they'll be right with you or not. Make sure your heart's right. You know, if you fuss and fuss and fuss and go to sleep, you'll have nightmares. Did you hear about that one guy? He's real hungry. He hadn't eaten anything all day. He went to bed and he dreamed he'd eat a 150-pound marshmallow. He woke up and his pillow was gone. That's the way it is when you fuss. You fuss and 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 all night. That's the way you'll do all night long. You won't even get no rest. You can't listen before one of you have enough guts and God to reach them and say, all right, let's pray. Let's get this out and get it right. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Make your heart right with your mate. Say amen right there. Amen, you hear about that man. He was somehow or another, he went to sleep and they'd been fussing and fighting for about 2 hours. And finally they went to bed and he dreamed he was back in Vietnam and he was going through these weeds and these briars, and he was fighting his way through, and he jumped out, and he'd pull out a hand grenade and go like a boom, and grab through these weeds, and he'd pull out another hand grenade, throw it out, boom, and he fought and boom. All of a sudden, I heard his wife screaming. She was sitting on the bed like this. She didn't have a curler in her hair left. Is your heart right with your mate, companion? Number three, is your heart right with your church? Is your heart right with your church? It's so easy. Are you listening? It is so easy to sit back and pick out the faults of the church. I've heard people say, I know 2-3 churches right now that, depending on who you talk to, it's shot or it's great. I've had people come up to me and they'll say, Brother Danny, I just don't feel the Spirit in our church no more. The Lord's left us. And then the very same day, somebody come up and say, man, I love every service. I can't wait to get back. The Lord bless me. So you know, it ain't the church. It's you as an individual. God's here if you want Him. And the devil's here if you want Him. If you want to get your eyes on other people and the faults of the church, that's all you'll see. But if you'll come and say, you know what? Well, all of us here together ain't worth shooting. Ain't none of us. We all ought to be in hell. But I'll tell you one thing. This is God's church. We have no headquarters but heaven. I'm telling you, I've heard people say, well, I ain't going to church no more. People down there at the church. Let me tell you something, buddy. You listen to me. The church at its worst is better than this world at its best. You hear me? The church on its worst day is better than the world at Christmas. The church in its worst time is better than the world on the very best day it has. Let me tell you something this morning. All them kids that got helped over at camp this week, you know why they got helped? Because Shining Light Baptist Church, we put our money in the plate, we buy a bus, we send them over there, we pray, we fast, we invite singers, we preach, we pray, and God brought another church from Alabama. God bought another church from up yonder near Virginia, and we all got together. That don't happen without a church. Is your heart right with your church this morning?
Amen.
Is your heart right with your church? You say, well, Brother Danny, I was having a hard time and the church let me down. Well, join the crowd. It has me too. Plenty of times. But I ain't going to forsake God's church because it's still the best thing in this world.
Amen.
Everybody in here is saved in a church or because of one. You say, well, I got saved at home. It was because somebody had a church somewhere and somebody preached and somebody told you the Bible. Buddy, we don't take our church serious enough. We take our church for granted. We ought to thank God we've got a place where we can feel His Spirit. Did you see the teenagers up here a while ago? That's a miracle. I've been to churches. We went to one when I was in Florida a few weeks ago. Wasn't that busy? Oh my goodness. We was the youngest. I was the youngest one there. That's a bunch of older people dying and all that. Thank God for what we have. It's not perfect. I'm not perfect. But thank God we've got a church that believes the book and has God's Spirit and people are being saved. Is your heart right with your church? Is your heart right with your church? You say, well, the devil fights our... Of course. I wouldn't belong to a church so sorry the devil didn't fight it. I wouldn't even go to a church the devil don't fight. People take a fit. They see a falling star. You go out there at night, you know, and you walk out there and somebody says, look! I went a falling star. And you don't never notice them 100 million that's still standing there. And that's the way people are at church. One thing goes right. Look at that. Look at that. Yeah, but what about them million things that's still going good?
Amen.
And still being blessed.
Yes,
and God's still blessing the church. Is your heart right with our church? Amen. You say, well, Brother Danny, there's just stuff about our church. Yeah, they sure are. There's a lot of stuff about y'all I don't like. But you know what? I overlook it because I know I got plenty of my faults too. When I point my finger like that, there's 3 pointing back at me. I'll tell you one thing. I sure ain't got nothing wrong with the Bible, and I ain't found nothing wrong with the Spirit, and I ain't found nothing wrong with our God.
Amen.
Is your heart right with your church? Support it in your attendance. I'm going to say something. Might make some of y'all mad, but it ain't gonna make you no worse. I'm going to tell you, I don't see how. It's my church. I'm a member here. I don't see how I can sit at home on Sunday night and watch TV knowing that my church is meeting together and knowing they're praying. And I'll say, you can do that. I don't see how you can just deliver. I know stuff comes up. I know you get sick. I know you got to work. I understand that. I'm talking about just saying, I just ain't going. I don't understand that. Listen, we ought to thank God. Our heart ought to be right with our church. Well, one of these days you'll wish to God you could come. One of these days trouble's coming down the road. One of these days kids going to be sick. One of these days tragedy's going to come. And you'll need every church service you can get. I advise you to get in it. I know that's overboard. I know that's fanaticism. Whatever you want to call it, buddy. It's the truth anyway. Whether your heart right with your church. Is your heart, are you right on your money? Are you right on your money? God said back in the Old Testament that 10% of everything we make belongs to Him. You don't give it, He already owns it. If you don't give it, you're stealing it. You say, well, where I go to church, they don't preach. Don't give me a hard time because your preacher ain't got enough sense to preach the Bible. That's what you get for going to a church that crazy. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to preach you what that Bible says. And that Bible said God owned that tithe. The word tithe means tenth. And when it comes Sunday morning, my money, when I get my check cashed, my tithe comes right off the top and it goes in this church. You say, well, I can't afford to. Do you know, if you make a lot of money, you know how much the government gets? 40%. If you make a lot of money, the government's going to wind up getting 40% of your money. Why don't you tell them you can't afford it? Because you say, well, I want to stay out of jail. Yes, that's right. I'd rather be in trouble with God, that world, and be in jail than I have to be in trouble with God at the judgment one day. God, listen to me, God can put His blessings on 90% of your money and make it go further than He can 100% when you're stealing part of it from Him. Is your heart right with your church? Number four, and I'll say this and I'm through. Is your heart right with your Creator? When all is said and done, and this life is over, you're going to stand in front of your Creator, and you're going to give an account to God. Doesn't matter how you was raised, don't matter what you believe, it don't matter how bad you had it growing up. All your sad stories ain't going to work. Well, this happened, Lord. Well, that... Listen. Anybody in here give me a sad story, I can give you some of my own. I can give you 15 reasons this morning why I quit church 25 years ago. If you want to do that. But the truth is, it don't count with God.
Amen.
That don't count. You know what? When it comes right down to it, all that matters is your heart. Right. I read about a big, tough fellow by the name of Ben. He was a bricklayer. He couldn't even spell Jesus. Had no education. Big giant of a man. And he went around all the time. Couldn't even read the Bible. And he'd talk to him and say, you want to get saved? Yeah. You want to get saved? Yeah. And he kept praying for people. And he had a rifle. And he'd go home when somebody got saved and cut a notch in the stock of that gun. And that's how he kept up with people getting saved. And that old boy never had an education. Nobody in this world ever heard of him. He died and went to heaven. And when he stood up there, the Lord, all them notches on that gun. You see, stuff that we think's important to God usually ain't nothing, and the other way around. Stuff that we think ain't nothing is big time with God. Them buses. I mean, you seen them kids standing over there this morning? You say, them they won't stay in there. Most of them probably won't. So what? If your heart's right with God, I heard about a hitchhiker. This hitchhiker was deaf and dumb. Couldn't speak. Couldn't hear. But to get out on the highway and hitchhike like that right there, and somebody would pick him up and he'd start pointing at the Bible and like this, and trying to talk to them. I did that to a lady yesterday, a Spanish, we was out visiting yesterday on bus route. Me and John, and a big man over here. And a lady came to the door, and the kids, you know, can speak English, but the lady was Spanish, and she couldn't speak Spanish. That's where we needed y'all yesterday, girl. And them girls right there are interpreters. But anyway, this lady, I couldn't understand a word she's saying. And have you ever heard some of these people try to act like, oh, it's us. Oh, I can't do that stuff. Ain't no use me trying to speak Spanish. Redneck and Spanish don't mix.
Amen.
Somehow they can't say them words if they say. And so I started pointing at my heart. I said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And she's like, what? I said, Jesus, you know. Up. And I thought, Lordy, mercy, I'd hate to have to do that to everybody I talked to. I think she finally understood what I was talking about, but they're usually raised Catholic. She just couldn't get it. But this hitchhiker would go out and somebody would pick him up, and he would start talking to them like that in sign language. And when they'd let him out, he'd leave the door open, and he'd get down and start praying like this. And they said he had a guy weeping. The man driving the car was bawling his eyes out and got saved. You know what? That's what's going to matter. Is your heart right? The Lord said, come unto me and I'll make you fishers of men. You been catching any men lately? Then you ain't following the Lord. Your heart ain't right. Your heart ain't right. Cotton mill worker down in South Carolina. I read about. And this is years ago. He's come home drunk. And he's a wicked, violent man. And he came home drunk one day, and his wife was out on the porch with a kid, with a baby. And she saw him coming up the sidewalk and said she could tell he's drunk. And when he'd get drunk, he'd go crazy. Demons would just fill him. He'd do violence. And he'd come up the sidewalk cussing like that right there. And she took the baby and run in the house. And he came in the house and took a stick of stove wood and hit her inside the head with it, where they was going to put him. So hit his wife inside the head with it, knocked her unconscious. And she died, killed her. And then that man, under the influence of that drink and demonic power, grabbed that little baby, his hand on his head like that right there, went in that kitchen and got a butcher knife and sawed that baby up. Cut his head off. And they said when they found that baby's head, his fingerprints was down in that baby's head. And they said when they sobered up, he sobered up the next day in jail. They told him what he'd done. And he started to begin to cry. And he said, I can't believe in jail the rest of his life and have to die and face God as a murderer. And his whole life is ruined. Probably died and went to hell if he didn't get saved. Y'all, listen to me. The man's heart would have been right. That would have never happened. You say, well, Brother Danny, I'd never do nothing like that. The truth is, you don't know what you might do. The devil can get you little at a time, at a little, at a time, and a little. I've had people tell me, preacher, I never dreamed I'd have went this far. I never dreamed that I'd have shot dope up in my arm. I never dreamed that I'd have snorted something up in my nose. It all started when I just got away from the Lord just a little bit.
Yeah.
And I thought everything would be all right.
That's right, brother.
The truth is this morning, the most important thing in this world today is that your heart is right with God.
Right,
let's stand by our heads for prayer. Amen, every head bowed.